Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
First few games, I felt rusty.
The last time Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak scored a 5-on-5 playoff goal,
my hands are taking some time to catch up,
was against Carolina in the Eastern Conference Final a year ago.
It's not like it was a playoff, so it wasn't, you know, do or die.
Dale Arnold.
But I think there's always the possibility that the league could flex some of its games to Saturday afternoon, Saturday night primetime, and take an even bigger slice of the sports calendar pie.
Andy Hart.
I love him to death, but the train keeps moving.
I'm the one who reported that.
Dalen Keefe with Fitzy.
You don't ring the air raid siren when you say all clear.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome to Dalen Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Rich is on vacation. I believe, and I've got to do my math here, I've got it written down somewhere, this is his 12th or 13th week off for the year.
It's embarrassing.
Somewhere
No, you say embarrassing, I say genius, because there is no smarter man at WEEI and across the Sports Radio Network, Dale, who has found a way to milk paternity days and vacation time longer and greater than Rich Keefe has.
Nick, I tried to talk my wife into having another kid.
Excuse me?
Well, I mean, look at that, all the time off he gets, for
wow.
God's sakes.
With
Let's
you?
Let's go.
Well, wow, Dale. Were you going to make a quarantine baby?
Quarantine, yeah, well, quickie?
Trust me, it wasn't going to happen in this house, but, you know, if I dangled the idea of four extra weeks off,
you
never know.
Oh,
keep
wow.
your dangling to yourself,
please. This
thing
has gone to hell in a handbasket already, for
Dale,
God's sake.
Dale, from what I've heard at the start of the broadcast and, of course, on the crossover, you're feeling a little feisty today. And back in the producer's lounge, we were prepping for today's program, and we agreed that we're all a little feisty today. So I hope you're ready for 4 hours of zesty radio.
Feistiness?
Feistiness, yeah. And F-bombs.
Now, Keefe is not here. Well, you probably heard this before, but Keefe is not here today, so I hesitate to open because we're going to start talking a little hockey here, but... You want a little Keefspiracy out there?
Please.
Because there are those already throughout the hockey world who are suggesting that the NHL draft lottery last night was rigged.
Oh, I'm so glad you started there, Dale.
I'll say this. I worked the game Sunday with Billy Jaffe, and off the air he said, you know what? Somehow it just seems like they want this Lafreniere kid to end up in a major market. And can you get a more major market than New York City?
No, you can't, Dale.
Nope.
Can you explain, give me like the NHL Draft Lottery 2020 for dummies now, real quick?
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, no, not for God, me. Fitzy wasn't sure how it worked. You couldn't even
begin to go. Anyway, the whole idea is the teams who either didn't make the play-in round to begin with, or those that got eliminated in the play-in round, all had the exact same 12.5% chance of having their painted ping pong ball taken out of the machine by Gary Bettman and get the first overall pick in the draft.
So
all of them had the same.
So Sidney Crosby and the Penguins
could have ended, or Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers could have ended up with this kid.
They were battling for a Stanley Cup. They had a chance for a Stanley Cup, but they could also end up with a generational talent. Who, by the way, every time I read anything about him, it's first to do this since Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid. Those are the two names that are tied to him. So he's got pretty good company coming out of Canadian hockey. So I don't really understand what's going on, other than it seemed like this was fixed.
And my favorite thing is if you go to the Google machine and you type in NHL draft lottery, first headline that comes up, NHL draft lottery blooper sparks baseless Rangers conspiracy theory.
Oh, I know.
Who said it's baseless?
Well, four hours here, buddy. Here's the deal. The New York Rangers stink. They were one of the teams that did make the play-in round and then got swept by the Carolina Hurricanes. They stink. A team that stinks should get, you know, the first overall pick in the draft. But the team that really stinks, the Detroit Red Wings, probably more deserved the first overall pick. It would have been a horror story if this kid had ended up going to the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Edmonton Oilers.
Yes.
That's when the hockey media world would have imploded.
That was like Shaq and Penny when Orlando got it back-to-back years. And you're like, what the hell is going on here?
And by the way, to this day, people still think the Patrick Ewing draft was rigged.
Of course they do.
A pinhole in the card. It was refrigerated.
Right.
It was refrigerated. It was a cold card. That's how you knew how to pick it. I believe in these things, Dale. You don't? What city's involved that time and what city is involved now? Interesting.
But can we all agree that most major sports are better when you have some of the top five markets relevant or competitive? The NBA is always better when the Lakers, the Celtics, and the Knicks are competitive. The Rangers, this is a heralded franchise. Dale, for them to have been as non-competitive as they've been for the last couple of years is kind of embarrassing. So if they decided
really
to cold card it or maybe wait the ping pong, I think it does.
I mean, no offense to you, but for the better part of like 20 years, the American Football Conference and the National Football League, which I believe is known now as the most famous sport in America.
I didn't
most
say the
popular.
Jets. I never said the Jets.
No. But their two biggest cities were Peyton Manning's Indianapolis and Tom Brady's Foxborough. They seem to do okay for themselves.
And can I also
suggest... It's funny, TV cameras now go to like every city. They don't only televise the games in New York or L.A.
I shall hear no more lies, Voodoo Man.
I would suggest that if the NHL was any good at fixing lotteries, Connor McDavid wouldn't be playing in Edmonton.
Right.
Okay.
He'd be playing in Los Angeles or Chicago or Boston or, you know...
Well, it's not foolproof, Dale. You know, you can only set it up. It's like counting cards. You give yourself a little bit of an advantage, and over the long haul, you win.
Yeah, I just think that it as much as I like Keefspiracies as much as anybody, and Twitter last night just exploded because of the little ping pong ball mishap. Whoever thought that would be part of the lexicon for 2020? A ping pong ball mishap where the ball slipped and it fell. Oh, no, now you see what happened there? That's how the Rangers got them.
Yeah, it's... But hey, we're talking about it, right?
See?
Oh, PNHL.
That's the important part.
Marketing.
When otherwise would we be talking about the NHL draft lottery and or a ping pong ball mishap and not have come off of a bachelor party?
Good point. All of those things are all true. And the other part of this whole thing, and this is where we were going to start this thing. So Lou was on the Greg Hill show this morning, and I heard him yesterday on OMF saying something similar. He thinks the Bruins are doomed. Wiggy told us yesterday on this very program, he thinks the Bruins are doomed because they treated a three-game round robin as what it was, which was, you know, three exhibition games. Didn't play awful hockey, but didn't play great at times. And they're favored to beat the Carolina Hurricanes. But for many folks out there, what you saw in the last three games is who they are, and they're done.
Dale from the studio, we are the bearer of bad news.
Okay.
The Boston Bruins are not going to win this series. No one here believes in your Boston Bruins, Dale. I think we're seeing what we're getting. I think the time was high for them. They were surging. And then all of a sudden, this break, you thought it would have freshened up their legs. It seems to have deadened their resolve. There's no energy. They're sloppy. They're getting beat to the puck. There doesn't seem like there's a coordinated effort. And I just don't see how you magically, like, turn the switch. Well, get back to, you know, world class hockey.
How about we ask the Tampa Bay Lightning from a year ago about flipping of switches?
Sure.
How'd that work out for them?
One of the greatest regular seasons in NHL history. They go up against the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are just happy to be there, and they get their clocks absolutely cleaned in a legendary and embarrassing capacity. And now Carolina is coming in. We said earlier,
Let's not go nuts about Carolina's rousing victory in the first round against a New York Rangers team that sucks, Nick.
Yeah, I know.
That has the number one overall pick.
They do, but it was a little bit of a tune-up. Sure, they're not better than the Bruins, and this is a better matchup for the Bruins than against the Islanders, as Ken Laird has pointed out many times.
Who are the Bruins?
I don't know. I mean, I know who they are, but at the same time,
are they the team that had the best record in hockey months and months and months ago?
Yep.
or are they the lackluster team we've seen of late?
Who continues to tell us that, have to beat everybody and seeding doesn't matter and they'll figure it out on time. Why were Tuca and Pasta not at practice yesterday? How many unfit to practice
now,
and play have we heard?
If you tell me today when they arrive for the morning skate that those two guys are unavailable, then we got a totally different discussion about tonight's game. Bruce Cassidy, who's more forthright than most, well, certainly in this city, but just coaches in general, said yesterday he expects both to be on the ice today. And he said yesterday he expects Tuukka Rask to start tonight. Now, if that information changes, then we've got a different discussion.
Dale, quick question for a bunch of people that are interested. How much do you put into the revenge factor for Carolina getting swept out last year, now getting a chance to maybe pounce upon a Bruins team that could be bleeding or a little bit weakened coming into this?
I'd have to believe that they're bleeding or weakened coming into this. If you ask me why the Bruins went 0-3 in the so-called round robin, I would suggest it was because David Pastrnak, Brad Marchand, and Patrice Bergeron combined for one assist. Now, if you want to tell me, do I think that's going to continue? I do not. I'm fairly confident those three guys are going to find a way to score. Now, the other part of this, and I know people want to play fast and loose with some of these facts, the Bruins just played against the other three top teams in the Eastern Conference. Didn't play great, but, played against the three top teams in the conference. The Carolina Hurricanes were playing the New York Rangers.
Sure.
And yet what we've done is we've taken their three wins against the Rangers and turned it into Stanley Cup contender, and we've taken the three Bruins losses against the other three top teams in the East and turned it into Nick Fitzy Stevens' funeral dirge.
But the whole idea behind the round robin was to make the games competitive and matter, correct?
See, but it didn't work.
It didn't work. It's certainly not for the Bruins because it didn't matter.
It didn't work in either the East or the West. And by the way, it was doomed to not work. If you were playing in those games, all you were thinking was, let's not have somebody get hurt here. Let's not have something bad go wrong. A Victor Hedman gets hurt for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's just go out there. Let's get our work in. You watch the way they were playing.
But does that work?
Guys patting each other on the butt. Alex Ovechkin and Chris Wagner, and there was a little scrum at one point the other day, and Ovechkin, gives Chris Wagner a pat on the butt. That doesn't happen in a game that matters.
But does it work? Like, did they set themselves up to play their best hockey when now, it counts. It matters. You go home if you lose. And we've had this argument for a year. I'll bring up the freaking Colts and Patriots again. Yep. Rest versus rust and how you finish a season and Tony Dungy shutting it down in week 14 and Bill Belichick saying, nope, we play on. You don't – couple weeks off, you win a bye, all of a sudden you're rusty and you're outed. Does it work? How about the beginning of last year's Red Sox season? We had a really long year in a World Series, so we're going to take our time. You sucked.
You don't get David Price or any of the starting pitchers tuned up until Memorial Day, and by that time, you're so many games out and everyone else is playing a better style of baseball that you're doomed to be a sad trombone coming off a World Series title. And Dale, I'll ask you this, too. If that's what you want to say about the Bruins, that, there was a lot of, patting on the ass and just sort of like tuning up and getting everyone back in shape after the layoff and the quarantine. How come all the other teams look good? Philadelphia sure as hell looked like they
were the one team of the four that played like it mattered. Tampa Bay sure as hell didn't. The Washington Capitals, Alex Ovechkin had 0 points in the three games of the round robin. I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest he'll probably score some points now that the games matter more.
That's fair.
That's
a safe limb.
That's a
sturdy.
That's a lukewarm take.
Doesn't seem rotten.
Pretty solid take. I'd bet on that.
So you have no fears about the Bruins? Is that how we're going to kind of clarify this, Dale?
I'm going to repeat what I said in March and what I said, at the start of this whole thing. If they're healthy, they are one of, if not the best team in the National Hockey League.
Despite what we've seen of late, our recency bias in games that may or may not have been taken seriously.
Well,
I have concerns because I think there are endless examples over the years of this whole philosophy of flicking the switch. And when the games matter, they know what to do. And Kyrie Irving, why will it be different in the coming months in the post? Because I'm here and this is why I was. Nope, never works out. Almost never works out that you just flick a switch. I have legitimate concerns that they kind of went through the motions and then, the race just started and you're too far behind.
Yeah, and look, I brought this up with Wiggy yesterday. No matter how much you convince yourself, that third preseason game for the Patriots is the one that matters. We're going to play this like a real game. They don't. And they just don't. I mean, let's be honest. The guy who's fighting for the 53rd spot on the roster is out there busting his ass Tom Brady's just trying to get his work in, and I'm using him as the example because he was the quarterback here before. In my opinion, no matter how much you tell yourself that it matters, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but
and it's hard to crank that up.
I hear what you're saying, Dale, but when you say like Tom Brady's just trying to get his work in, he doesn't need to win those preseason games. But what I would see in those games, like in 2016, when he knew he was going to sit out for four games, when he came trotting out into the field in the preseason of 2016, he came out there with a zip in his gait, and he was throwing darts to Hogan, and he established that connection as quickly as he could so that he knew when he came back onto the field, he could get back up to speed in no time at all. I haven't seen the intensified preseason Brady to Hogan of these Boston Bruins tune-up games, and I'm just afraid that whether it's Tuca saying like, I just played some golf and I changed a lot of diapers during the quarantine, or, Pasta not showing back up into shape, that they're going to get up in shape.
That was the problem.
Well, he showed up in a different, shape. Yeah, it was more like Zeppeli shape. I feel like the Bruins are only going to get tuned up in time to be down 2-1 and then have their backs against the wall. Now, maybe that's the test that they're going to need, but you're playing a really risky game when you do that.
I understand that, and I think the term one of you used was recency bias. That's fair.
Yep.
You know, what you've seen is what you are. Well, sometimes that's true, and a lot of the times it's not. Based on what you saw when the season got suspended on March 12th, that team that you saw play those three round robin games, is that the team you saw in March? When they had gone 16-4 in their previous 20 games, did they all suddenly forget how to play hockey between March and August?
No, but that's a long time, Dale.
It actually
sure.
is.
Sure.
Just think of how the world has changed. I mean, Mr. Like, for me personally, I had an arm that worked back then. I didn't pull a hammy. I didn't weigh 10 pounds more. I wasn't the fattest of my life. A lot has changed, Dale, since March.
Wow. This is a bloodletting, isn't it, Fitzy?
Yes, the world has changed.
Opened a vein here.
Dale, it feels cathartic. We got to get it out there now. So when the Bruins play like the way that you're describing for us, then we're all going to be like, okay, fine.
Dale
we
was
feel
right.
bad. And then you can quote tweet us and then put at freezing cold takes or old takes
sure.
exposed. We'll own it.
Because we won't do the same if the Bruins get swept. Don't worry.
OMF just put out a tweet, and I think, and I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but it's something like 14 of 16 hockey experts at ESPN have picked the Hurricanes to beat the Bruins in this
Ooh,
round.
Motivation. Bulletin board.
I think the lead there is that there's still 16 hockey experts at
well,
ESPN.
Well, I got to be honest, I was being generous when I used that term.
And to find that on ESPN, you won't find it on the homepage. You got to go through like seven subset menus.
You need that,
downs.
Like the Hulu Disney Plus ESPN Plus subscription to get there.
But Dale, I understand that they didn't take it seriously. And you know how I know that? Because our producer, Chris Scheim, found a very important Bruins player who told us they didn't take it seriously.
You know, it's not like it was a playoff, so it wasn't, do or die. So these are going to be a lot more intense. And
that guy.
That
By
guy,
the way, did
Brad
you see
Marchand.
What he did? Did you see what he did yesterday? He's at the podium. He's at the podium with Chara, and it was kind of funny. He's the two guys at the podium, and a reporter from the Czech Republic, or maybe it was from Slovakia, asked Chara a question in his native tongue. And as soon as he finished asking the question, Marchand started answering it like he understood
like
anything about what the hell was just said.
Just get one of those cliches. We need to get better, all three
phases. Yeah, one of those. We've got to skate hard.
Can first I ask line, first line's got to show up tonight.
Quick question from audio that I've been dealing with from afar as I watch.
Sure.
Brad Stevens post-game the other night and, Celtics Zooms and Patriots Zooms. Can you not use a microphone with Zoom?
Of course you can.
Yes. So why don't
I have microphones? I have a microphone here. When I've done Zoom sessions that I plug into my iPad and use it.
So why when I'm talking to...
I don't know.
The player could hold a microphone. Put an effing ad on the microphone if you want to maximize it. Right?
I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to use a handheld, but a lapel mic that plugs into, your power...
Whatever.
You can do a nice little, like, blue or, like, an Omni podcasting microphone. You can do a little handheld stick mic action.
Whatever
you
want.
Or you can do Dale's little funny lapel
Why
microphone.
Does it seem all these teams rely on, like, the laptop mic that we all use because we're nobody's
Less
at home?
Less contact. Yeah.
So give everybody their own damn mic, or, I don't know, sanitize it, wipe it down.
Listen to you, Daddy Warbucks. Where'd
I want
you get
better
the
audio. The year is 2020. I know we're Zooming. It's not an ideal world. Give the guys a damn mic so I can hear what they say, and it's not wah, 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 wah.
Or that. 617-779-7937. So Fitzy and Andy are the harbingers of doom. They join Wiggy and Lou in that department. I'm sorry, as Andrew Raycroft put it on Sunday's postgame show, I'm going to give this team the benefit of the doubt until I see them play like this in games that matter. But we'll see what you think. 617-779-7937. 7937. Tom E. Curran joins us at 11 o'clock. We've got a bunch of football stuff we're going to talk about. UMass has at least postponed their football season. They're not going to play this fall. They hope to play in the spring, but notice I said hope to play. They're not even sure if that's going to happen. We've got Fitzy in the house. We've got Andy in the house because Keefe is on his 13th week of paternity leave. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
I thought last two games we were taking a step the right direction, so we just got to be a little bit better next game, a little more urgency around the net. You know, that playoff mentality, shoot the puck, crash the net. I feel like that's what was kind of missing from our game a little bit today.
David Krejci, post-game on Sunday, talking about... no, that's David Krejci. I don't care how it's labeled. I promise you that's David Krejci. But that's what he was saying after the game. Well, I understand.
It's your job to get it right, Dale. Nice job. Came through in the clutch.
And by the way, Dale, can I share real quick that I thought the picture that you shared on Twitter last night of you with Shaq
wasn't
and Mutombo and Yao Ming was fantastic. Well captioned, too. I'm the one on the right.
I'm going to look it up.
So last night, I was watching Shark Week.
Yep.
And Shaq was on Shark Week. And every time I see Shaq now, I'm reminded of the fact that he is a massive human being. And so a couple of years ago, I was emceeing at Mohegan Sun, the Basketball Hall of Fame ring presentation ceremony, which I had the pleasure of doing a number of years. And the one time I was standing on stage with Yao Ming, Dikembe Mutombo, and Shaquille O'Neal was sort of comical.
Oh, that was great.
As the old Sesame Street thing, three of these things go together.
One of these
things, one of just doesn't belong.
That's so,
you, Dale.
Oh, God.
And I'm not exactly a giant in my own right, but did you legitimately feel like less of a man standing there? Because I would have. I would have felt so inferior.
At the moment that picture was taken, I literally said, boys and girls, this is a lesson for you. Three of us ate our vegetables and took our vitamins, and one of us didn't. You figure out which is which. And
it's unreal.
It's like you had to escape them and throw a small ring into a volcano after the ceremony.
You're like Danny exactly. DeVito and Twins.
And somebody, when I posted it last night, no, it's fine. I'm self-mocking when I posted it. Somebody said last night, this is Photoshopped, isn't it? I said, No.
If you're going to Photoshop it, you get the Schefter box and put it under you and make you at least reach their shoulders, not their breasts.
That's Uncle Dale IRL right there, folks.
Good. Oh, yeah.
That's the joy of it, too.
Yeah.
Which, and I'll say this, they were charming guys. They were fun to be with. I was mocking myself, and they got kind of a kick out of it. But you just lose sight when you watch these games on TV and everybody's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You forget that in real life, these guys are gigantic.
Right. They would hit their head on your ceiling fan in your living room and not be able to go to the bathroom because
they
wouldn't
fit.
They need
whole airplane rows.
Yes.
Did Yao say to you afterwards, can I write a check?
And he did not. No. Would have been so good if he did, but no, he didn't.
I'm shaking my head if you...
I'm getting the dad disapproval look from Andy right
and
now.
And I love dad jokes. I'm the king of dad
Come
jokes.
Come on, that was a great campaign.
That was terrible.
Try write a check for Visa was a great campaign.
I thought you were going to do a Dikembe, you know, finger wag joke.
No.
That was next. Oh, no.
So I did look it up during the break, and 13 of 15 ESPN... analysts have picked the Hurricanes to beat the Bruins in this round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And now, Bill Belichick just cut and pasted that sent it to his good buddy to make sure he was aware of it.
Including, by the way, my buddy John Buchagras.
Oh, former buddy.
We're still pals. No. He picked the Hurricanes in 7. And there are only two people who picked the Bruins to beat the Hurricanes. Of their 15 analysts, one is Pierre Becchi. Not familiar with his work.
Huge fan. Been a subscriber for years.
One is Tim Kavanaugh, who I've heard of. They're the only two people.
That's all you got on poor Timmy? That's a step up from Pierre, I guess.
At least I've heard of him. Everybody else has got the Hurricanes in 7. Here's a Hurricanes in 5. That's a good one.
Now, Dale, do you think, honestly, we make the immediate Bill Belichick joke because, of course, down in Foxborough, there'd be a whole presentation, like Andy said, it would be wallpapered everywhere.
Patriots Football Weekly has been used in that way.
Does Bruce Cassidy come in full of piss and vinegar tonight and just say, well, boys, just to let you know, here's what everyone thinks. Why don't you go out there and show them they're right?
No, he doesn't need to.
I actually don't think Bruce because he's got enough smartasses on his team. Trust me, Brad Marchand is bringing this up in the dressing room this morning. You know, trust me. team leaders like Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara are quietly saying, you know, everybody thinks we suck. Nobody thinks we're going to win this series.
Like Tom Brady.
They'll do a lot of that stuff.
Nobody thinks we can
Brady
win anymore.
Everyone thinks we suck. Nobody thinks we can win.
No one's saying that, Tom.
At some point today, Tuukka Rask is going to stand in front of his teammates and say, you know, both Fitzy and Andy Hart said we're going to lose this thing.
Well, I hope Tuukka's there.
I mean, I'd start Halak.
If Tuukka's there, I feel better about their chances.
Did Lou really say he would start Halak?
Oh, I did. I missed that part.
That was a drop that I think that Shyam just
played. I mean, I'd start Halak.
I'd start Halak.
I think that was from a while ago.
That was last year. Yeah, that was not...
From a while ago. It was last year, Dale. Like, that's not even a while ago. It's a long...
That qualifies as a long time ago. That's fully out of context.
Yeah, you're screwing him. That's not right.
Dale, your confidence level that the, shall we say, the pincushion of Bruins angst for the past decade, really, my neighbor, Tuukka Rask, will have the postseason that he'll need to not only lead the Bruins to the promised land, but also to... push past the naysayers and the doubters. I mean, he was one game away last year.
No way he pushes past the naysayers and the doubters. Even if they go on and win the cup, the naysayers and the doubters are going to say, you know, they should have had three.
But that's okay.
If it wasn't for Tuukka, they'd have had three.
Really? You think one will then
lead?
There
is a portion of the hockey fandom in Boston. I generally think hockey fans are pretty intelligent, they're a fairly intelligent fan base. But there's a portion of that fan base that is so dead wrong about Tuukka Rask, it's nearly comical. I mean, he's won a Vezina Trophy. He's a Vezina Trophy finalist again this year. And yet for a portion of Bruins fans out there, he sucks. You're never going to win anything with him. You're never going to change their minds.
Yeah, I think the cup will change a lot of minds. Maybe some. Maybe a small portion of the small portion will hang on to that, as you, Dale, said. You know, they could have had three. They could have had this. They could have had that.
Tuukka Rask. He sucks.
Maybe that guy, for example.
The Tuukka is good crowd, and that's a thing. The Tuukka is good crowd is waiting for his moment. And they'll point to things like, well, in 2013, the Blackhawks really were the better team, and he got, you know, the wrong end of the bums rush there in Game 6. And in Game 7, they'll say, well, I mean, he let in the early one, but that was Marchand going off on the line change with 10 seconds left.
In all seriousness, Nick, you saw what happened in Game 7.
I sure did.
It was a total 19-man meltdown.
Oh, yes.
I'm not blaming Halak. He didn't play.
Nope.
The other 19, nobody played well. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to blame Tuukka Rask for that loss.
How
in
it
game
works
seven.
When you're the goalie and the quarterback. Well, huh?
Let's end the 60-footer.
How many times, though, did Tom Brady, I can't say does anymore because that would involve present tense and he's not here anymore.
Gone,
so I've heard. Thanks. Appreciate that so much, Andy. I'm going to go back to my bad jokes in a second. But how many times, Dale, did Tom Brady get blamed when he would play a great game and the national media would say, oh, Foles outduels Brady in epic Super Bowl, when Brady had nothing to do with it because he only threw for 505 and three touchdowns?
I got to be honest with you, Nick. Fumbled. In this town, it was, in my opinion, the opposite. If they lost, it was never his fault.
Right. I mean, ask Wes Welker about that throw.
Yeah, he was 10 foot tall and bulletproof in this town. By the way, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been.
Oh, but it's also different.
In this town, yes, national
media-wise. He had three Super Bowls in 4 years. Like, he started with, excuse me, got the rings, say what you want. Mm-hmm. Tuukka's not in that range yet. If you have the rings, at some point you can be a critic, but you become an idiot. Like, yes. If somebody's just piling up rings, you can, Belichick sucks as a coach, Brady sucks as a quarterback. Wow, he's got three already.
But we know that a hot goalie can carry you all the way, too.
Sure.
Like, where did Jordan Binnington come from last year? Tim Thomas, as far to the right and out into the wild as the man went shortly after the 2011 Cup run, that guy will be a hero in this town and probably never have to buy a Budweiser for the rest of his life.
And I also think that hurts Tuukka. Just the idea of Tim Thomas is a legend, a shadow that he can't run from.
And well, Tim also, and this pisses people off when I say this, and I'm sorry. He was kind of a pretty average goalie through the first two rounds of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The last two rounds, I don't know what happened to him. Whatever vitamins he was taking, he became otherworldly for two rounds, and it was heroic, and they won the cup. But to your point, Nick, about never have to buy a beer or a meal in this town again, I said that about Curt Schilling in the aftermath of the bloody sock, and I was wrong. And I said that about Tim Thomas in the aftermath of the Stanley Cup and the whole not going to the White House and all that stuff. I was wrong about that, too. Now, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I think people remember Tim Thomas more fondly right now than they do Curt Schilling. But there was a while there where Tim Thomas was on Curt Schilling Island for a lot of folks in this town.
He was the first one, actually, I think, of all, at least the local athletes, maybe even on the national scale, to object to going to the White House. I think you can trace that whole thing back to having political views that weren't in line with Tim Thomas saying that he didn't want to go to the White House,
but he
came as a shock to everybody.
He kind of fell off the map, so to speak, right? He went off the grid and kind of did his own thing. Whereas the Schilling comparison, Schilling was still active on social media. Oh, he's running for this in Colorado. He was going to do that. He was always sort of in your face. So the people that dislike him and his politics and his thoughts continue to get beat over the head with it. And that's why he's
And Tim Thomas didn't make a point of beating us over the head with his thoughts and his memes.
No, views. In fact, he cowered behind his teammates. He wouldn't talk about it. And they were forced to answer questions on his behalf.
Right.
Yeah, that's not cool.
It was not, and I can tell you this, the teammates didn't like being asked about it much.
But Dale, the way we started this talking point, I think if Tuca goes on a run here, and I said this last week or 2 weeks ago with you, Dale, I find it hard to believe they're going to win the cup in spite of Tuca. Like, I just don't think those two things are
he'll have to play well.
Right.
Like he did last year. He was great last year.
But he didn't win
in the playoffs.
All that matters is the last game. When you hoist something or you slide something on your finger and then you make the decision whether you're going to go meet the guy at the White House, that's all that matters in the end. The rest gets erased.
And point to the Andy comp, the Welker thing. Who was better in this town than Wes Welker and what run he went on for six years?
People hate him.
And it pisses me off to no end.
It should. You're a leader of those people that hate him.
I am not.
Yes, you. Those are your people that hate him.
But I don't hate him.
The Sopa fan. Oh, Edelman, he's a hard worker. How you clutch. Who's better than Edelman in the playoffs? There's only one guy. His name's Rice. You might have heard of him.
I'm Andy Hart.
Those
all
are your
I do
people.
I crap on everybody. I crap I on the crap thing that feeds anybody. My kids.
What? What am I crapping on?
No, I'm defending Wes Welker from your people. You and your Thorntonites.
And see, this is what happens if Tuca doesn't play well. Come on, Dale. Help us out.
I told you. It's going to happen. And even if he does play well, there's going to be a portion of the population, it won't matter. Their minds are made up. I'm going to tell you who the worst person in sports is when we come back. And by the way, retire the trophy. There is no one worse than this guy. It's not Tommy Curran. He'll join us at the top of the hour. But I'll tell you about the worst person in sports in just a moment. Dale and Keefe, Andy and Fitzy in the house, Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Let me tell you who the worst person in sports is. In fact, he might be the worst person on the planet right now. And there's a lot of candidates for this thing. Let's talk Cleveland Indians baseball for one brief moment here, just as a way of serving this guy up on a platter. So Zach Plesac, pitcher for the Cleveland Indians, they're in Chicago over the weekend, and he decides, screw all the protocols and COVID-19 and all that. I want to go out. And he goes out with a friend and does this and does that. And the Indians, because Major League Baseball has now put security on all these hotels, Major League Baseball tells the Indians, hey, he went out, you know, Saturday night. And they say, you got to get in a car. You got to go back to Cleveland. You're done for now. So then the Indians have a team meeting on Sunday to discuss what Zach Plesac did. Mike Clevinger, another player on the Indians, is sitting in that team meeting defending Zach Plesac. Oh, come on, guys. You know, he's a good guy and all that stuff. They finish up their series. They hop on the charter. They fly back to Cleveland yesterday. He's on the charter, obviously. And they find out, oh, Mike Clevinger was out with Zach Plesac on Saturday. Mike Clevinger knows that his manager, Terry Francona, is away from the team right now because he's got health issues, stuff going on. They're concerned about him. Terry, you got to stay away from the team right now. He knows that he's got a teammate named Carlos Carrasco who was diagnosed with leukemia 14 months ago. Immunocompromised and all that stuff. He knew all of that when he was sitting in that team meeting and not telling anybody that he went out with Plesac. He knew that when he got on the charter Sunday night to go back to Cleveland. Mike Clevinger is the worst person on the planet.
That may be a strong take, Dale. Maybe a little extreme, but this is what I told you weeks ago. In any group, you're going to have a jerk. In any group, you're going to have a guy you can't trust, which I found funny yesterday listening to Lawrence Guy talk about why he opted to play this year, despite having kids and, you know, seeing other teammates
He's
opt
a great
out.
Guy.
And he said, I trust my teammates. I trust this organization. I think the organization's going to clean and do what they need to do, and he has faith in his teammates. That's a dangerous game to play. And in baseball, at least you're only trusting whatever the expanded rosters are now, 30-something. In football,
I think they went down to 28.
So 28. Yep. you're only trusting 27 other guys. In football, you're trusting 79 other guys, plus, I don't know, ball boys, coaches, trainers, all this. I wouldn't do it. Like, it's just the reality.
If you're Mike Clevenger, can you ever look any of those teammates in the eye again?
Ah, sure.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I made a mistake.
I don't know.
Dale, there is this weird ignorance to their actions where they don't feel sick. They can't somehow stitch together how getting together with someone when it seems like a completely harmless and innocuous environment could somehow lead to a possible mortality or somebody else getting sicker beyond their wildest imagination. Like, there's just this ignorance to them. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think a lot of it still comes to the privilege that is given to many of these guys who play in leagues with these guaranteed contracts, who have had smoke and sunshine blowing up their you-know-where for their entire lives, whereas with football guys who can get cut at any moment who don't have guaranteed contracts, and many of which are going to play in their own little team bubble and go on the road and risk well-being and family this fall.
But to Lawrence,
they're playing
guys,
for contracts.
But Fitzy, to Lawrence guy's point, he trusts his teammates, okay?
Well, it's Foxborough, yes. I mean, I would have
no, no, I understand. So what's going to happen with Lawrence Guy if two teammates do what Plesak and Clevenger did? One does it and at least admits it and gets in a car and drives back to Cleveland. The other one sits in a team meeting and just pretends like it wasn't me. They don't know. I'm okay. Gets on a plane with his teammates and then gets busted by MLB. What's Lawrence Guy's reaction going to be if he has two teammates like that?
If you've got good veteran leadership, then you tell him to kick rocks and get off. I would. I'd tell him to get out of town.
Right, and I'm guessing that would come from even further above. I think there's also probably a little bit more of a fear factor in Foxborough, a little bit more respect for the organization and the coach and the structure put in place. But then I would get back to my own argument. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what the undrafted rookies are doing. They haven't been here that long. You know, they get away with certain things. They come from certain, you know, they're big college players. They went to Auburn or these various places. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how fearful they are. Like, they've all had rules their entire life, right? Mm-hmm. And then as pampered athletes, they bent the rules. They snuck out after curfew or they did this and that.
Right.
So you can't just assume. Like, I think it's great that
it's
Lawrence Guy feels
assume,
that way.
Yes. Yeah.
But I would not be all in the way he seems to be to trust everybody.
I think the Indians are pissed off at Plesak, but okay, he did something dumb. Come on, Zach, what are you thinking? That's not the same as Clevenger, who thought he put one over on him, sat in a team meeting with him, got in a charter airplane with him, and it wasn't until Major League Baseball busted him that, oh, geez, okay, now you got me.
Cover-up's always worse. Cover-up is always worse.
Fess up to it first. Right. It doesn't look nearly as bad
Rick
as
Rick Pitino said it.
By the way, there is an optional morning skate in Toronto for the Boston Bruins. Both Tuukka Rask and David Pastrnak are on the ice.
They are fit?
Apparently so.
But are they good?
Well,
all 15,
not 11. According to you two. There.
All 15 ESPN analysts have changed their tune. Everyone's picking the Bruins now, Dale.
Well, maybe.
All the money's coming in. Shyam, can you keep track of the money that's coming in on the Bruins?
Yeah, I got you. I'll take care of it.
What did Pierre do? Did Pierre update his status?
Pierre Becky?
Yeah, Becky.
I don't know.
Wee Becky?
Now, it's funny, Dale, because when you teased up that you were going to talk about the worst person in all of sports and we had an inkling or at least a clue as to who it was, for a moment, Andy and I both thought, oh, he's got to be talking about that Cardinals pitcher that allegedly flew the Instagram model in. And that led us down the wormhole of checking out her Instagram. And while
show
that was
research.
Really irresponsible of Jack Flaherty to have done that at the same time, that wasn't an unpleasant 2 minutes. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Oh, Dale, don't tell me you didn't do show prep.
I did
You're
show prep.
You're a professional.
I missed that one.
Don't tell me you didn't go to.
I got time during the break.
Okay, at RFRI___.
Wow. Not that you guys aren't in lockstep.
In unison.
She's two new followers. She's actually four new followers because Nick LePan and Shime, too, are like,
not me.
Oh, please.
I'm not following.
Oh, Andy doesn't want to leave any footprints.
That's right. Instagram's shady. You look at certain things, and then you go to your search page, and it's like, oh, women. It's like, wow, what are you tracking me for? Stop it.
617-779-7937. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us next. Wondering if the Patriots are going to go with an entirely run offense coming up this season. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy and Andy, Sports Radio, WEEI. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.